Click the link in the episode description to support our podcast with a donation, and you'll receive a shout out in our next episode. Thank you so much for your generous support. Don't forget to find the link in the episode description.
I'm Ava. The house where my family and I live is really big, but one night, I could hear my parents fight all the way from my room. My best friend Ella was staying over. My parents had been screaming at each other for hours. We couldn't make out exactly what they were saying, but we were both really uncomfortable. Ella said, "I'm going to call our driver to come and pick me up. I'll come by another time." I was upset with my parents for ruining our evening, but there was nothing I could do. After Ella left, I walked over to my parents' bedroom. I was curious to find out what they were fighting about. As I was walking up to their room, I saw two maids standing outside their door eavesdropping. As soon as they saw me, they started walking away. They both gave me really sad looks, and I didn't know why. I started listening to my parents. I heard my dad say, "Didn't you think Ava was going to find out about this one day? She will hate you when she figures out the kind of person you are. You tricked me, and you tricked Ava." Obviously, I was really surprised. My mom said, "I didn't trick anyone. Ava is your daughter." To which my dad said, "Then look at the test again. Our DNA doesn't match. I'm not her father." I couldn't believe my ears. Had my mom cheated on my dad? Is my real dad someone else? My mom would never do such a thing. There had to be another explanation for this. I couldn't just stand there quietly. I barged in. Both of my parents turned red when they saw me. "Mom, Dad, what is going on? I have a right to know," I said. And my dad said, "Your mom lied to us both." So here's what happened. You know those DNA testing sites? The ones that tell you where your ancestors came from? I had ordered test kits from one of those sites just for fun. I got three of them for my parents and me. All we had to do was put our saliva in test tubes and send them back. 10 days later, we got the results. First, we checked my parents' results. It said that they were both 80% Egyptian. This made sense because both of their families were from Egypt. They came to the US in the 50s. Then we checked my results, and they were not what we had expected. It said that I was 95% Colombian, that my ancestors were from South America. At first, we were really surprised, but then my mom said, "I heard that these tests are not that accurate. Since we are both 80% Egyptian, you must be 160% Egyptian." And we had a good laugh about it. However, my dad became suspicious. He went to my room while I wasn't home. He got some hair from my brush and took it to a lab. They did a paternity test, comparing his DNA to mine, and it came back negative. I asked my mom, "Is this true?" She said, "Ava, you're our daughter. There must be a mistake." And she started crying. I turned to my dad and said, "Maybe it was the hair. Let's try another lab and have them test my saliva." My dad agreed. The next day, we were at a DNA testing lab. My dad owns a big pharmaceutical company. Since everyone in the healthcare industry knows him, the owner of the lab came out to meet us. He was a biochemist. He had a lot of experience in this field. "Could we get a saliva sample from the mother as well? We could get to the bottom of this if we compare all of your DNA," he suggested. Testing my mom's DNA turned out to be the key to the whole mystery. The test confirmed that my dad wasn't my father, but we discovered something else. My mom wasn't my mother either. There was only one explanation for this. I must have been switched at birth with another baby. I started crying. My parents gave me a hug. "This doesn't change anything. You're our daughter no matter what," they said. This made me feel a little better, but still, this was a horrible situation. My parents' real daughter was raised by another family, and that family was my real family. We are one of the richest families in the state. My mom has sat on the board of a nonprofit for years. They build schools in disadvantaged neighborhoods. When she was 8 months pregnant, she was visiting a construction site when she suddenly started getting contractions. It was still 3 weeks before her due date, but for some reason, the baby had decided to arrive early. They took my mom to the nearest hospital. In that underprivileged neighborhood, the conditions at the hospital were pretty awful, but there was nothing to do since labor had already begun. Thankfully, everything went well. One of the nurses told my mom that it was a girl and asked, "What are you going to name her?" My mom said, "Ava." The nurse wrote "Ava" on a bracelet and put it on the baby's wrist. Then they took the baby to a room with all the other babies. It seems like that was the place where we got switched. Since all babies were wearing bracelets with their information, it couldn't have been an accident. Someone must have done it on purpose. Someone must have switched our bracelets. That's how I became Ava. Sure enough, they put my name bracelet on hers. When my poor parents were leaving the hospital with me, they had no idea I wasn't their baby. Now the truth was out. We all felt terrible. My dad tried to console my mom, saying, "We'll find her. Then we'll have two daughters." I wasn't curious about my real parents at all, but I was going to do everything I could to find my family's real daughter. My mom and I decided to go to the hospital where she'd given birth. We were going to get a list of babies born on that day. My dad would hire a private detective and ask him to find each baby on the list. But we were in for a shock when we got there. The hospital had closed down 13 years ago. This was a long time ago. No one knew where the records were. Meanwhile, I was constantly on the phone with Ella. She was sad for me as well. When I told her the hospital had closed down, she said, "I bet if your dad told his story on one of our TV channels, you'd be able to find someone who can help you." Ella's family runs a media company. They own many TV channels. I called my dad and told him right away. He liked Ella's idea too. "Let's offer a reward. That will give people an incentive to contact us," he said. A few days later, my dad was a guest on a TV show where he told the whole story. He said, "We are offering a reward of $5 million to the person who finds our daughter. We have partnered with a lab that will do DNA testing. We are looking for a girl who was born in the first half of March of 2006. My dad's announcement went viral. Many news stories were published with the title, "Billionaire offers $5 million to find his daughter." Hundreds of people applied. Most were poor folk. They were bringing their daughters in for the test. Unfortunately, none of their DNA matched my parents. Months passed. People stopped coming to the lab. We were losing hope. Then, one day, an envelope addressed to my dad came in the mail. When he opened it, he saw a page from a diary along with a letter. The date on the diary entry was my birthday, March 13, 2006. My dad called me and my mom to his study. Then he started reading the diary entry. "God will punish me for doing this, but I have no other option. I can't take care of my baby. I don't even know who the father is. I have to bring her to a foster home. I'm sure she's not going to have a good life there. That's why I switched her with that rich lady's baby. My girl is going to have the best life. I will leave the rich lady's baby to the foster home. God will help her." When my dad finished reading, we were all crying. My real mother had switched me with another baby because she was poor. I had the perfect life, just like she wanted. And what about the other girl? My parents' real daughter? How hard has her life been? I had stolen her life, and I was feeling so guilty. My dad looked like he had read my mind. "Come here," he said. He gave me a big hug. He wiped away his tears and started reading the letter. "I am sending you a page from my sister's diary. She passed away last week. She'd been sick for a long time. Just before she died, she told us about what she did 15 years ago. She showed us this diary as proof. The girl who you think is your daughter is in fact my sister's daughter. She left your real daughter at a children's home. I don't want money from you. My sister made a huge mistake. But since she is with God now, God will take care of this." The letter included the name and address of the foster home. My parents went there right away. The director looked through the records. "The baby was adopted shortly after she was left here, but according to the rules, I can't share the identity of the family. I will call them. If they give me permission, I will connect you," he said. My parents were so excited when they came home. That evening, they got the phone call they were waiting for. The director of the home said, "The family has agreed to meet with you. Come tomorrow at 10 a.m. The next morning, I went with them. On our way, my mom said, "You're our daughter, and that will never change. We will always love you." We were all so excited. When we walked into the director's room, I couldn't believe my eyes. I screamed, "Ella, is that you?" It was Ella and her parents who were waiting for us. It turned out Ella was my parents' biological daughter. It is obviously a crazy coincidence, but it is real. Life is full of incredible surprises. I didn't know Ella was adopted, but she did. A few years ago, her family told her they adopted her as a baby. They said, "Let's keep it between us. If people found out you were adopted, they could start treating you differently." Ella didn't even tell me about it because she promised her family. Ella was very happy. I was so curious about my biological parents, but I never thought I would find them. "It turns out they've been right here all along," she said, and hugged my parents. Ella's parents seemed just as happy as she was. A few days later, I visited my biological mother's grave. There was a photo of her on the tombstone. This was the first time I was seeing her. I stared at the photo for a long time. I couldn't hold back my tears. "I know you did this for my sake. How I wish I had known you. Rest in peace, Mother," I said.
I was surprised to wake up with the sun so bright out. I reached out for my phone to check the time. It was past noon. My mom was supposed to wake me up that day. The plan was to have breakfast at the Museum of Natural History cafeteria and then visit the Skeletons of Extinct Animals exhibit. When my mom heard of the show, she got tickets for us without even asking me. That's because she knows how much I'm into prehistoric animals. I jumped up from the bed in a bad mood. "Mom, why didn't you wake me?" I yelled, shuffling to the kitchen. But my mom wasn't there. I ran to the living room. There was no one there either, so I thought she had to be in the backyard. "Mom!" I called out to her. Well, she wasn't there either. I went back to my room. I picked up the phone and called her. The phone started ringing somewhere inside the house. I listened to the ringing to figure out where it was coming from. It was my parents' bedroom. "No way! Is Mom sleeping in?" I said, barging into their bedroom. No one was in there. My mom's phone was on the bed, and it was weird that my dad's phone was also there. So where would Mom and Dad have gone, leaving their phones behind? Did something happen to them? I was getting anxious waiting for them to come back. At the same time, I was thinking about what I should do. My mom's brother, Uncle Martin, works at the bank next door. He stops by our house every day. It was the weekend, so the bank was closed that day. I still wanted to call my uncle to ask him if he knew what was happening. "Uncle Martin, my parents are both gone, but their phones are here. Do you know where they could have gone?" My uncle said,
"I don't know. I'm sure it's nothing to worry about. They'll be home soon."
I went to bed. I began watching stuff on YouTube to get my mind off the issue. Speaking with my uncle had only made me more anxious. After a while, I began to nod off. I woke up with a jolt to a voice in the night. I listened carefully. The voice sounded like it was coming from the next room. "Mom?" I yelled as I was getting up. It was dark inside the house, and no one else was there. I checked the time. It was almost 10. Apparently, I had slept all day. I realized that I hadn't eaten anything either. On my way to the kitchen, I thought I heard that voice again, the one that woke me. It sounded like screaming. It sounded like my mom's voice. It was coming from inside the wall. I put my ear against the wall when I heard the voice calling, "Eddie! Eddie!" I was scared. For a while, I stood staring at the wall in disbelief. I didn't have a choice. I had to listen to what it was saying, even though I was terrified. When I placed my ear against the wall, I heard the same voice. It was muffled, and I could barely understand what it was saying. All I could make out was my mom's voice screaming my name. What was my mom doing inside the wall? "This doesn't make sense. Mom can't be inside the wall," I said, trying to stay calm. Then I got an idea. The basement. Mom's in the basement. I ran to the basement door. The door to the basement is always locked because it's infested with mice. When I touched the knob, the door creaked open. It had been a long time since we'd been down there. Inside, there was a dim light. "Mom!" I called out to her from the top of the stairs. At that moment, I clearly heard my mom say, "Eddie! Eddie, honey! We're in here!" I called out to her again as I nervously went down the stairs. "Thank God, Eddie," Mom said. "We're here! Come over here, honey!" I could hear her clearly, but she still sounded muffled. As I came closer to the light, I saw dirt on the floor. "Mom, is Dad there too?" I asked. She replied, "Yes, he's here, honey, but he doesn't feel well. We need your help." There were quite a few buckets under the light, and they were all filled with dirt. I looked up at the wall. It looked like a tunnel, but the entrance was caved in. "Mom, what's going on? Why are you in there?" I asked. "Honey, it's a tunnel. Your dad started feeling faint as he was digging last night. I came in to help him, but the ground above us collapsed, and we got trapped," Mom replied. "Mom, why was Dad digging a tunnel?" I said in shock. She said, "Eddie, I'll tell you everything, but you have to call your uncle and tell him to come over. We need to get your dad out of here right now." I ran upstairs, called my uncle, and told him everything. He arrived half an hour later, holding a shovel and a spade. my uncle and I started working. He carefully began removing dirt from the front of the tunnel. I started filling the buckets with soil and running up the stairs to dispose of the earth in our backyard. We dug out the entrance of the tunnel for hours. Finally, I could see my parents. My dad was lying on the ground. My uncle jumped in to help him up. He took him by the arm and carried him out of the tunnel. My mom was crying. "I've been screaming for hours so that you could hear me. You found us just when I thought I couldn't scream any longer. You saved us, honey," my mom said, hugging me. I looked around. "Mom, why was Dad digging this tunnel in the first place?" I asked. "I'll tell you everything, but first I need to attend to your father. Let's get out of here," she said, running up the stairs. I was left alone inside the tunnel, so I decided to look around. I wondered how long my dad had been digging. I walked deep inside. My dad had built a wooden structure to prevent the tunnel from collapsing. He even installed a power line and lit up the place with light bulbs. It was an engineering marvel. I was impressed. There was something sparkly on the ground that caught my attention. I looked down to investigate. Mom had dropped one of her earrings. There was a long tooth right next to the earring. I held it in my hand. It looked like a fang, but it was gigantic. Just then, I heard my uncle's voice. He was standing at the edge of the tunnel and calling out to me.
"The tunnel's not safe. Please, get out of there," he said.
I pocketed the fang. When I went upstairs, I saw my dad lying in bed. "How are you doing?" I asked him.
"I was having difficulty breathing down there, but I'm okay now," he replied.
Mom said, "I'm sure you have lots of questions. What I'm about to tell you may be upsetting. The doctors diagnosed me with a muscular disease. If I don't get treatment, I'll be bedridden. We found that it's treatable, but we can't afford the medicine. Your uncle realized that the vault of the bank he works for is on the same level as our basement. Even though it's a crazy idea, he told us we could reach the vault by digging a tunnel from our basement. Your dad has been digging this tunnel for 4 months. We know this isn't right. Your dad is making this sacrifice for me, and we only plan on taking the $2 million we need."
"Why didn't you tell me you were sick? We could have figured something out," I said, hugging my mom.
I couldn't sleep that night. What if they get caught? I'd lose them both. The thought upset me deeply. That night, I remembered the fang I found in the tunnel. I got up from the bed and pulled the tooth from the pants I had worn earlier. I picked it up to give it a closer look. A tooth this big could only belong to a wild animal, but it made no sense for a wild animal of that size to have died in the middle of the city. I searched for wild animal teeth on Google. This fang was bigger than any of the ones I found online. I decided to pay the tunnel another visit. Maybe I could find other body parts belonging to the animal. I scanned the walls and the floor with a flashlight. I didn't find anything. Just as I was leaving, I saw another fang on the ground. I tried pulling on it hard, but it wouldn't budge. I found a piece of wood and used it to unearth the rest of the tooth. Suddenly, it dawned on me. The tooth was still connected to a jawbone. After working on it for some time, I uncovered an entire jawbone attached to a skull. It was gigantic and must have belonged to a prehistoric animal. I carried the skull into my room and started searching online. What I discovered literally sent shivers up my spine. What I had found in our basement was a T-Rex. There was a T-Rex skull in my room. I didn't sleep that night. When my parents woke up, I told them about the skull. At first, they didn't believe me. They said it must belong to some other animal. They were only convinced after I showed them some different T-Rex skull samples. When I said, "Mom, we can sell this online and pay for your treatment," they stared at me.
"Could this skull be worth that kind of money?" Dad asked.
"Of course! We found America's first T-Rex fossil," I replied in excitement. The next day, we went to the Museum of Natural History. The museum director said,
"This is a huge discovery. If I'm being honest, private collectors would pay at least $15 million for such a specimen. Unfortunately, we have a limited budget. We can only offer you $3 million."
That amount was more than enough to cover my mom's treatment, so we accepted their offer. I didn't want this incredible T-Rex fossil to gather dust in some private collector's home. It had to be publicly displayed for visitors coming from all over the world. My mom got her treatment with the money we made from the fossil. My parents thank me all the time, but my dad deserves the real credit. Thanks to him, I got to touch a real T-Rex skull. We still have the tunnel. Sometimes I lightly scratch the dirt to see if I can find the remains of another dinosaur. I have yet to find anything, but I'm hopeful. I believe that our T-Rex wasn't alone.
While I was at school, I got a text message. I received some terrible news. Can you please come home now? My dad wrote. When I arrived home, I was out of breath. My dad was lying in his bed. He looked exhausted. Are you okay, Dad? I asked. He cracked his eyes open. Unfortunately, I'm not. I've had this intense back pain for a while. They did a bunch of tests at the hospital and the doctor broke the bad news to me. He was tearing up. What did he say, Dad? Please tell me already, I said. He seemed to be having trouble speaking. Those aches were caused by cancer, honey. I got diagnosed with bone cancer and tears started coming out of my eyes. And what, Dad? Please tell me everything, I said. And it's stage 4. I will receive chemotherapy, but the doctor said I had 6 months to live. Tops. I hugged my dad. Oh, God. I can't believe it. What am I going to do without you? I don't want to lose you, please. Don't leave me, Daddy. I cried desperately. My dad was my everything. I'd be all alone if I were to lose him. My mom died when I was 3 years old. I only know her from her photos. This is very difficult for me to share, but I know that she died in a fire I caused. The terrible event took place on my 3rd birthday. My parents were planning to throw a big birthday party for me. My dad went shopping to get the party supplies. My mom baked a small cake that morning to surprise me. As I sat in my high chair, she put the cake in front of me and said, "Happy birthday, Olivia." There was a lit candle on the cake. According to my dad, I had asked for a Barbie cake for my birthday. So I thought this small cake was my real birthday cake and smashed it, screaming, "Where's Barbie?" The candle on the cake flew off, fell to the ground, and set the curtain on fire. Suddenly, everything around us was ablaze. My mom wanted to leave the house with me, but she couldn't even make it to the door because of the intensity of the fire. Not knowing what to do, she covered me with her body. She protected me from the flames until the firefighters arrived. I was rescued, but unfortunately, we lost my mom to that fire. As if losing my mom in this way wasn't enough, now I had found out that my dad only had 6 months to live. My dad had to go to the hospital 3 times a week for his chemo treatment. He's a cop. He quit his job saying, "I can't serve my country in this state." It made me so sad to hear his decision because he was a successful cop with a great reputation. He would often tell me things that happened at work. One day, he was chasing a group of burglars. The men grabbed 5 kids who were playing basketball on the street and held them hostage. My dad single-handedly saved those kids from the burglars. They gave him 5 medals of valor for his extraordinary service. 1 medal for each kid. He gifted the medals to those kids. When I asked him why, he humbly replied, "Those kids were so brave that day that I thought they deserved it more than I ever did." My dad's disease was progressing. I felt terrible for him. I stopped going to school so that we could spend his final days together. Every morning, I'd wake up early to make him his breakfast. Some days he would go to the hospital for treatment, and some days he would meet up with his old cop friends. Time was flying by. 2 months was all I had with my dad now. He too was trying to accept the inevitable end. My dad was so important to me, and I knew he was just as important to other people too. His birthday was coming up. I decided to throw a surprise party in his honor where all of his loved ones would be present. I'd never met my dad's friends before. I just knew they were cops. I didn't have a clue how to reach them either. One day my dad said, "I'm going to my old police station today. I heard that my friends over there are having some issues they need help with," and left home. This was the perfect opportunity for me. I could secretly follow my dad and find out where he used to work. Then I could go there and invite his friends to a surprise party. I left home immediately. I walked behind my dad, trying to keep distance between us. After walking for a while, he stopped in front of a restaurant, but he didn't go in. He turned the corner to the side of the building and went through a door that said, "Staff only." This didn't look like a police station. Was my dad part of the secret police? Was that why he never introduced me to any of his work friends? I watched it all from across the street. Then a truck arrived. the truck driver knocked on the door. Two guys dressed like cooks came out, and one of them was my dad. It looked like the truck had brought meat for the restaurant because my dad and the guy next to him picked up huge chunks of meat and carried them inside. I didn't get it. What was my dad doing here? Why was he dressed like a cook? He looked like he was working here, but that was impossible. My dad was a cop, and he left because he was sick. I went back home shocked. My dad was hiding something from me, but there must be a reason for it. I was sure he was going to tell me all about it when the time came. That's why I decided to wait. The next day, my dad said, "Honey, my chemo treatment is today, then I'll be resting at the hospital for a while. I might run a little late tonight," before he gave me a kiss and left home for the day. My dad was going to the hospital 3 days a week for his treatment, but after what I'd seen the day before, I was suspicious. I decided to follow him again. He followed the same route, went to the same restaurant, and walked through the door that said staff only. I was in tears on my way back home. I was having trouble understanding what was happening. Why was my dad lying to me? My mind was full of questions. Suddenly, I had an idea. I went to Google. The story about my dad saving those five kids must have been in the news, so I could find out which station he used to work at and go talk to his friends. Google listed many news stories on the incident my dad had told me about. I clicked on the first one. It had happened exactly like my dad described, but the name of the cop who rescued the kids was different. So it wasn't my dad who saved them. My heart started pounding. Did my dad lie to me about that too? Why? Only he could answer that question. I darted out of the house and went straight back to that restaurant. I knocked on the staff door. A guy opened it. I gave him my dad's name and told him I had to see him immediately. A few minutes later, my dad arrived, shocked. "Olivia, honey, what are you doing here? How did you find me?" he asked. "Dad, do you work here? Are you a cook?" I asked. My dad forced a smile. "Of course not. This restaurant belongs to a friend of mine. Sometimes I come here to help out," he replied. "Dad, this doesn't sound convincing at all. What's going on? I followed you. You came here instead of going to the hospital. Did you quit your chemotherapy treatment?" He stuttered while trying to answer my question. My disease, it's progressing. The doctor said it's okay if you want to stop treatment." It wasn't hard to tell he was lying. He had panicked. There were drops of sweat on his forehead. "Dad, are you a cop or not? I Googled the incident about you saving those five kids. It was someone else who rescued them. All I need is to hear the truth right now. Please explain this to me," I begged him. "Olivia, I'm not a cop. I'm a cook. There's something I've been keeping from you. I have a mental illness. Olivia, I am a pathological liar. It's a horrible disease. I lie involuntarily all the time," he said. That day, I learned what being a pathological liar meant. This was a mental illness. Mythomania was the medical term for it. People with this illness feel compelled to lie all the time. And just like my dad, they liked telling elaborate stories. My dad was diagnosed as a pathological liar when he was 15 years old. He got treatment from time to time, but there is no real cure for this illness. After telling me all this, he began to confess his lies. "I read about the cop that saved five children's lives in the paper. When you were little, you asked me what I did for a living. I told you I was a cop and gave you that story as if I was the one who rescued those kids. You loved it, so I kept adding in new details every time I told it." I gulped back my tears and asked, "Dad, is it true that you have cancer?" "I don't have cancer, honey. That too was a lie. Please forgive me. I couldn't tell you it was a lie, so I had to keep going with it," he said. When I heard that, I hugged him. I was on a roller coaster of emotions. I'd been so sad for months because of my dad's lie. I had even left school because of it. But I was still happy to find out that he didn't have cancer. "So, did you also lie to me about my mom? Is she really dead?" I asked. "Yes, she is gone, honey. But I did lie to you about that as well. You weren't there when she passed. She died in a car accident."
"Dad, how could you do this to me? I've been blaming myself for causing my mom's death. I see that story in my dream every night. The one you made up," I yelled.
Honey, please forgive me. I'll get treatment. I'm never going to lie to you again. I beg you, please, forgive me, he said. What I heard really upset me, but I'm sure this was only a small part of his lies. I wonder what other stories he made up for me. I live in a children's home now. My dad came to visit me last week. He kept telling me he loved me. He wanted me to come back home. I'm really confused. What would you do if you were in my shoes? Do you think I should go back home? Please write in the comments.